We hear all these stories about people getting really sick and then their lives drastically changing. Guess what? Here's another one. So in 2016, I got pretty sick and I could not get rid of this cold that was seemingly just a common cold. It kept coming and going and it kept getting worse and worse until I started developing asthma. It got to the point where I had to admit to myself that maybe there was something more going on, that maybe there was something in my energetic system that was preventing me from truly getting better and getting back into my energetic rhythm, my energetic flow. Something had to give. I was sharing this with a friend one day, and she recommended I see a shamanic energy healer. So I went to this shamanic energy healer, and a whole new world opened up. It felt like coming home. It felt like remembering the truths of who I am and what I already know, but I needed reminding of. Suddenly, the world felt less scary, less alone, and my life is now driven by my inner knowing, not by fear. My name is Madeline Corliss. I am the creator of The Energy Studio. Welcome to The Energy Studio Podcast. Hello. This week we are talking about meditation. I'm going to invite Mackenzie on in.
Hello.
Welcome. Thank you for doing this. I'm so excited to chit chat.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for having me. I am so grateful. This is amazing.
Yeah. Awesome. So for those who don't know, I have just a quick introduction, and as always, I'm going to read it because I don't want to miss anything. So Mackenzie Fly is a singer, dancer, actress, and yoga teacher in Las Vegas. She took her last name and made it her mission. FLY is an acronym for Fearless Yoga. She aims to help people fear less on the mat and love more off the mat using the methods of yoga and meditation, which is super awesome. And if you haven't checked it out yet, Mackenzie just published a new website and it's gorgeous. And her YouTube is awesome. There are a bunch of different yoga flows and then also meditation videos. I have been doing the meta meditation practices and they've been so lovely.
Oh, thank you.
You're very welcome. So I like to start this out with, how did you get into all of this? Like, what led you to where you are?
Okay. Well, first of all, you're amazing. This is amazing. The space that you're creating and cultivating for people is beautiful. So I'm in awe of you and I'm glad that we're connecting in this way. And I guess, the journey of yoga, it's always interesting because you kind of hear that you don't really find yoga. Yoga finds you sometimes. And I had no plans of being a yogi, no plans of being a meditator. That was like so not on my radar growing up. I grew up in Oklahoma, so I hadn't really heard much about what yoga was until I was about to go to college. So I was about to train for musical theater and dance. So I was like, I better get my act together. I'm going to go train in North Carolina where my aunt lives at this ballet studio. So next to the ballet studio was a Bikram yoga studio. So I was like, I'll do my training during the day, and then at night I'll go do this yoga thing. I'm not really sure what it is. And I remember thinking it was insanity. For those of you that have never tried Bikram, it's berserk. Basically, you're in this like 1,000-degree room, and you do 26 postures that are the same every time. So it's very regimented and very, very strict, almost militant in energy. So I found it very challenging, but that's the interesting thing. And that's kind of what's true to yoga as well, is that it's not always the easier things that bring you back. It's the ones that are very, very challenging that keep you interested. Yeah. So I was interested, even though I like semi hated it. Like, I had this love-hate relationship with it.
Yeah.
So anyway, many years now, I don't practice Bikram anymore, but that was my first exposure to yoga, was practicing Bikram while I was studying for college. And I just haven't stopped ever since. Yoga just really stuck with me. Something about it was addictive. I think that there's definitely that addictive phase when you first get introduced to yoga. Now I definitely think it's the aspect of breathing. It's so healing. And anytime you're reminded to take a deep breath and to slow down, there's that returning to the self that is just keeps you coming back. So I'm grateful that yoga found me and that now I get to teach it. I've been teaching yoga and meditation now for 7 years. I did my first teacher training while in college in New York. So yeah, just been teaching. I've been so grateful. So to do yoga by day and then live in Las Vegas with my husband. We do shows at night when we're not on shutdown. So I really am like living the dream in many ways. So I'm grateful.
Yeah, I love that. Again, I'm looking at my notes. I'm very atypical, like structure oriented.
I love that.
So let's
talk about meditation and like the principles behind it. And one of my favorite things to think about is like, if a skeptic was like, I don't know if I buy this, like, what would you tell them?
Totally. That's a great question. So the first thing to kind of point out is that there are many different styles, and somebody could be like, well, why are there so many different techniques? Like, what's with that? And it really is kind of that idea of like all roads lead to Rome, like all different styles lead to the same thing. It's just kind of a preference thing. It's one of my favorite quotes in Sanskrit, which is kind of like the language of yoga. It's Ekam Shat Vipraha Bahuta Vedanti, which means one truth, many paths, which I think is so beautiful, because some people get so caught up and like overwhelmed with, you know, choosing the right way. And it's just kind of completely up to you and in your preference. So most people, when they think of meditation, they probably have this very, very strict idea of sitting in lotus, like all those statues, you know, and making it very like, I don't know, just that idea. They have this idea of what it should, could, and like would be, and don't think of it how it could be like very much implemented into their own life. So meditation, like what is meditation? It is actually a mind training. It's a mental exercise of returning again and again to like your point of focus. So what could that point of focus be? There are many suggestions that are listed in kind of some classic yogic texts, many of them being like you could focus on your breathing, more of like a Vipassana type of meditation, Anapanasati, awareness of breathing. Or you could have like a mantra type of meditation where you repeat a phrase. Mantra, coming from man, the Sanskrit word means mind, and tra means to break. So it kind of breaks the runaway train of your thinking. Because sometimes that's what our brain does. It just runs, runs, runs. It goes, goes, goes. And it just has all this momentum. So it's hard to stop the momentum in its tracks, but it's easy to give your mind almost like this fork in the road. So it's like, okay, mind, I get it. You've got all this momentum. I'm not going to stop it, but I'm just going to redirect it. So mantra is super useful in that way of kind of giving your mind a different place to go. It's also like mindfulness techniques and so many others. But what you've been watching lately is something from the metta meditation technique, which kind of stems from Buddhism, the Brahma Viharas of the Buddha. So they're kind of these, I guess you'd call them virtues to become aware of that can help you just be happier. And it uses a bit of mantra because they come with these phrases. So it's almost like an affirmation type meditation as well. So just a few, but they all do the same thing. They just help you stop going so fast, create a space to become aware. And in that awareness, you experience less. And that sort of experiencing of less gives you this so much more of peace and clarity and joy.
Yeah, I love that. I have two thoughts. Like one, going back to the idea of there are many roads to one path. I think that's just so applicable, especially as artists, and something that like we really have to learn early on of like, my journey is going to look very different than this other person's journey. And, I think that's such a beautiful pairing of, finding that groundedness and that understanding that I'm going to get to where I need to be and, it's going to work out. It's just not going to look like anybody else's journey.
Yeah.
And I also love what you said about, how it's so easy to get caught in that spiral thinking and how sometimes we just have to give ourselves a fork in the road to go off onto a different path. So like, I keep getting this image of like a tornado and then you just going down, it's like, oh, but there's this like beautiful garden right next to you that if you give yourself the tool to step sideways, you can get out of that pattern, which seems very empowering.
Exactly. And what's even more, like you're totally on the right track. What's even more empowering is that it's all tools that are already within you. Mm-hmm. So it's saying like, you don't need any sort of external source. Like you don't need to reach for some other drug to help you have this higher range of consciousness. Like it's all within the faculty of your own body, within the faculty of your own breathing and within your mind. So it's very like empowering is the perfect word for it because it's like, it can only be done by you. Like yoga and meditation is a journey of the self, but it's also through the self. And then it takes you to yourself. So it's like all just about you. So it's amazing because then you kind of switch the paradigm. Like it's no longer about what other people can do for you. It's like you're your own teacher, you're your own guru, your own best friend. So it's very much this sort of coming of age, I guess, or just emergence, like, of the self to do what you're most capable of doing.
Yeah, I love that. And as you were talking, I was thinking how like we already have the tools in ourselves. And one of the things that I work on with my energy coaching clients is the very first thing we do is identify patterns and like identify what things are coming up for us synchronistically, but then also seeing, okay, what behavior am I doing repeatedly that's keeping me in this loop instead of like moving forward? And I think that's so just all tied interrelated.
Totally. And it's interesting that you use the word repetition, because that is a huge part of meditation. Mm-hmm. It's really that repetition. Like, what are we repeating? Your mind is also a muscle. So it's the same as if you were going to a gym and you were trying to strengthen your bicep, like, right, you got to pick up that weight again and again to make the muscle stronger. So it's not that meditation is making you or trying to make you stop thinking, although, mm-hmm. Oh, it went dark. Are we good?
Yeah.
Although that may be kind of like a byproduct, your mind can reach a place of like thoughtlessness. Mm-hmm. However, that's not what you're trying to do. So the more you try to do that, the more your mind's going to think. It's a byproduct of engaging wholeheartedly again and again in a repetitious action. So that's kind of where people like have the misconception. It's that thing that you're aiming for is not what you should be aiming for. You need to readjust your focus. So it's like you are trying to focus, but it's like again and again on the same sort of thought. So whether you're using mantra, whether you're using your breath, you're repeating that same thought again and again, so the other thoughts can't break in. Mm-hmm. So then you experience this sensation of kind of thoughtlessness from your effort of trying to have the same thought.
Yeah.
So there's this one image of like dharana or dhyana. So concentration and meditation are kind of exemplified in the Yoga Sutras as being oil poured out of water. Oil poured out of like a container. So it's like you've got this flow, but it looks unbroken and it looks the same, but it really is just like this continuous flow. Like it's not one thing. It's a continuous flowing of the same thing many, many, many times.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, yeah. So it's kind of like, oh, like when you think of it that way, you're like, oh, I've been trying to do the feeling, not the work that'll give me the feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As you were saying that, I was thinking about my voice lessons and how my voice teacher talks about like holding out a long note where like, it seems like you're present in this one space, but you have to like keep reasserting the air for it to continue to move.
Yes. Yes. So it's that support, the alambana is what you'd say in yoga, like your support. What are you returning to again and again and keeping it fluid, like you're saying, like supported through the continuation of that. Cause that's the important part is the continuing, the repetition. It's like the father of all learning. The more you do, the more like you become, the more it becomes embodied, becomes you. You don't have to work so hard anymore.
Yeah. And I think that's also where the strength element comes in. And you mentioned like training your bicep. I was talking about this with a client the other day too, of like, they're experiencing this, these new understandings, and they're like, but why do these things keep coming up? And I'm like, because you're still strengthening those muscles. Like it's still, your system knows that like you need reminders every so often to like stay on that track. So for somebody who is either struggling to implement meditation as like a regular practice, so for somebody who is either new to this and wanting to implement it, or has tried and felt maybe defeated or like they aren't doing it right, what would you advise them to do to get started?
That is a great, great question. And somebody who's an amazing resource and author on this is Light Watkins. Mm-hmm. He has a great book for people who are like, what is this whole meditation thing about? He really demystifies the practice. I think in any way that you can make it bite-sized, accessible, and not intimidating is great. So for people, like you don't have to be sitting. Meditation can be done in your normal living life. It's a quality in the way that you do things. So you could be washing your dishes with meditation. You could be having a conversation with meditation. It's that sort of flow state that we were talking about, where you're actively so engaged that you're not really like distracted. You're not somewhere in the past. You're not somewhere in the future. You're not listening to respond. You're listening to understand. You're communing with them in a way. So think of it in that way. Like, it doesn't have to be this formal practice of coming to a cushion, lighting a candle, putting your, you know, index finger and thumb together. Unless that's you, which, like, I do that all the time. I love that sort of stuff. So if that resonates with you, great. But if it doesn't, you don't have to do it that way. So the thing that I tell people most often is, like, watch your mind within the first few moments of waking up. Like, while you're still in bed, practice, like, 2 minutes of meditation. So often we dress ourselves not only in clothes, but yesterday's thinking. Like, we wake up and we pick up the same thought patterns, and it's just this sort of repeated, sometimes very vicious cycle that we're completely unaware of. And that's what is the greatest gift of meditation, is it gives you the power, the magic, really, of awareness, and more often being aware. Doing so on purpose with a very skilled practice of trying not to judge yourself. So there's kind of layers there. It's like, yes, you're being aware, and yes, you're doing it on purpose, but you're also trying to do it without judgment. So there's this sort of sphere of kindness that you're exercising on yourself, so that whatever bubbles up, you try to practice acceptance, whether that thing that comes up is good or bad. So say, for example, you wake up and you're like, I'm going to try to meditate for 2 minutes in the morning. So you could open your eyes and you just become aware of the thoughts that come into your head. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of some work that comes from Byron Katie. She has these four questions that help you liberate your mind. And I ask myself this all the time. So if a thought comes up, I'll ask myself, is this thought true? And that's directly from her work. So it's kind of questioning your mind. Like, do I really feel this way? Or is this like a repeat thought, an old thought, whatever it is, you know, and you kind of just let your own answers bubble up to the surface. But I think the greatest gift, especially for people who are just trying to begin a meditation practice, is take a minute or two in the morning to be aware of your thoughts, and then to ask yourself, like, are they true? And then to kind of practice being like, okay, I accept these thoughts, and then see what will happen if you can kind of like let them be, or what I would say, like, let them go. So it's like you don't try to fix yourself. It's in the being aware of yourself that you actually do the fixing. So the awareness in itself is enough, whether you take active engagement in fixing or correcting your thinking. So it's like a very simple meditation, is taking some time to be aware, to question, to accept. And then in that way, like, you haven't even, like, taken yourself out of your bed or come up from the covers. You've started in a much more centered, strongly connected place. So that's like my favorite way to encourage people to start to incorporate it. And then too, my other thing is, if you sit down, if you do try to have like a formal meditation, don't be so, strict on like needing to move. Because that's what keeps people from even sitting in the first place. They're like, oh, I can't sit still that long. And I'm like, okay, well then just move when you need to move. They're like, what? Like, it's such a mind-blowing concept to them, that you don't have to be completely still, because they'll use that as an excuse to even get started. So that's the other thing. It's like, just move, like take away all those things that are keeping you from it. I would say, so maybe those two are good. I could keep going, but I don't want to ramble.
I love that. And I think it's so funny you mentioned that, because when I meditate, I move, and I frequently catch myself, like, cause it's normally in the morning, my body hasn't really woken up. And as my mind wakes up, I'm like, oh, I normally like stretch my back a little bit. And it's always like, I've noticed that it is definitely a pattern of around this time in your meditation, your body understands, like, oh, I can like release some of those things now and start to get
a little bit away. Or you're like, this is 20 minutes in. You're like, my right hip is telling me it's 20 minutes in.
Yep. And you're like, I can't feel my foot. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. So the one question that we did get, which I think we've already touched on, but it was in the comments, and it says, I have always had so many thoughts running around in my head. How could I manage those when I meditate?
Beautiful. So, we kind of already touched on it. Like you said, the point isn't to stop thinking. So I think it's kind of realigning, like, what's at the center of your practice. And again, if it's sort of this mental training of awareness, you have to understand that the point is to work with those thoughts. Like, it's a gift. Anytime you're given those thoughts, it's a chance to exercise, to pick up that weight and making yourself stronger in awareness. So when you kind of shift your focus from, like, oh, these thoughts are the obstacles, like, not thinking is this thing that I've got to get over, instead of thinking that way, you're like, no, this is the point of meditation. This is the aim. They're not the obstacles. It's the actual journey itself, is to sit, have thoughts bubble up and be aware of them, question them, accept them, and like let go and try again, like returning your consciousness, your awareness to whatever you're focusing on, whether you're doing breath awareness meditation, your mantra meditation, your like energy, you can get into any type that you want. But the point is that you're working with those thoughts as they bubble up, not against them.
Yeah, I love that. And I love the idea and the approach that like all of these things that people frequently use is like, I'm doing it wrong, or like telling themselves that it's their meditation isn't valid because of this like natural human thing, that those aren't roadblocks. They are simply tools to help us go further. I remember listening to a meditation once, and whoever was guiding it said, let the sounds around you dive you deeper into the meditation instead of pull you out of it. I love all of that.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I heard this teacher say something kind of similar. She said, like, use your problems as the portal. So it's like those things that we think of as being the obstacles or as the roadblock, like those are the exact, those doorways to take us deeper. Like you're on the precipice right there when you encounter it. That's the moment not to turn around. It's the moment to walk you further or go deeper. So it's not always about like, you know, going longer, harder, faster. It's going deeper within. So yeah, I mean, it's just it's a different shift in what's at your focus. It's a different way of looking at it for sure.
Yeah, I love that. And last question before we wrap up, how do you feel like these practices have supported you as an artist and as a creative human being and just made a difference in your life?
Oh God, I don't know who I would be without it, to be honest. I think too, and you probably relate to this, like being somebody like a yoga teacher or meditation or any type of energy counselor or guider, it upholds the sense of responsibility to exercise what you're preaching or practice what you're preaching as well. Yeah. So that's one of the main things that I'm like, thank goodness that I do this, that I try to tell people or tell others how to do this, because now I actually have to do it.
Yeah.
But I think like, especially like within the context of the global pandemic, it's like anything that you can have a practice, whether you use like your religion for this as well to support you, or like a yoga practice, any sort of awareness or really at the end of the day, what it comes down to is that surrender aspect, like grace, like understanding that there's only so much that you can control. And ultimately there's a lot that you have to kind of give up. And one of my favorite quotes about yoga and meditation is that it's actually the practice or the art of letting go, of learning how to relax, like chill out, honey child.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be this giant stress ball. Like you can't worry about those things. And that's what really creates all this suffering. Like what yogis and Buddhists would call suffering is our stress and worry. And that becomes the biggest like cancer is your fear. And then there's the kind of that quote going around right now, but it's so true. And so whatever you're using to remind you or give you that space to return to grace, return home, to surrender, that's where you really experience that healing transformation, or just feeling. And that's what yoga is. Yoga is a sensation. And when I say yoga, it's synonymous with meditation. So yoga is a feeling. It's not something that you do. Yoga is something that you experience. And like what we were saying, it's a byproduct of participating in certain actions. So it's like, you don't say I do love, you feel love, and you feel love when you engage in activities that are friendly with other people. You feel love when you notice things that are beautiful. It's participating in beauty that gives you the feeling of love. So it's very similar, like participating in activities that hold your entire awareness gives you the feeling of yoga.
Yeah.
So I think it's just like the more often or whatever you use, like we were saying in the beginning, whatever road, whatever vehicle you're using to take you to that path, having a practice like that can save your life. Quite literally or metaphorically speaking. So it's saved me from some depression. It saved me from making rash decisions. It's given me just more space. And ultimately, I think it's made me a kinder person. It's made me more spacious, compassionate, patient, resilient. I've stopped taking things personally. I sleep better. And these are all symptoms of yoga and meditation, is that you essentially just stop stressing, like sweating the small stuff.
Yeah, totally. And I think the topic of like illness and all of this is a whole different
episode.
But when you were talking about those stressors, I think too, very commonly in our culture, we don't see things as being stressful because we are so used to it just being there. And it reminded me that when I was, I think I was like 25, I got shingles. And I was like, I am not 80. Like, I'm young and I'm healthy. And my doctor was like, it's actually very common for people in their 20s because it's related to stress. And like at the time I did not feel stressed. I actually felt less stressed than I had been. And I was like, wow, I really need to actually like look at my life and see what pressures I'm putting on myself that I've just grown so accustomed to. And like really being diligent about like a morning practice and having that time to realign has made such a big difference in my life. But it's, again, illness is a whole nother topic, but it really does play such a big factor in our immune system and our physical ability to cope with various things coming in at us, in addition to energetically of like, if I am already in a not so hot emotional place, somebody else's negative emotions being thrown at me are going to affect me much deeper than if I have aligned my own energy and been able to say like, oh, okay, this is where I am today. And that's that person's thing. And they just needed to release it. Cool. Not about me.
Yes. And what you're saying, like, I just think it's all about awareness. Because for the most part, like people just are so like caught in that rhythm, caught in that, what were we saying? Like that train, that runaway train, caught up in that momentum that they're completely unaware of what's going on in here. You know, like most people walk around and they don't even know how they feel. They don't even know the thoughts that they're thinking. So that's what these practices give you, is the tool, the skill, the strength of awareness. Because when you become aware of something, you're already like 90 steps ahead. So like with what you were saying of, as far as like, you know, sharing that energy, it's like that can derail you or can feel off-putting or kind of knock you off course, unless you have the power to be aware, like what you're talking about. And it's all in awareness.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I feel like that is a fabulous place to kind of wrap up this conversation. If people want to follow you, work with you, do practices with you, where can they find you?
Thank you for giving me the space to even share that. Yes. So as we mentioned before, I released and launched my website, which you should have seen this yogi behind WordPress trying to figure it out. It was a struggle, like a feat for me to get up, but it's out there. It's on the world. So that is the best resource to find me. It is flyfearlessyoga.com. I'm also on Instagram under Mackenzie Fly and on Facebook as well. My YouTube channel is Fly Fearless Yoga as well. So doing some meditation and yoga classes on there. And probably my most exciting announcement is I'm now on Insight Timer Meditation app. So you can find me there. You can find me there just under Mackenzie Fly for there. And it's M-A-K. I have no C in my name or else I'd be McFly. My mom kind of thought that, but I still get called McFly anyway. You can call me McFly if you want. But that's all the places. So Insight Timer Meditation app, my website, YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook on under variants of Mackenzie Fly or Fly Fearless Yoga.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being here and talking with us today. We'll talk soon.
Okay.
Amazing. Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Energy Studio podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, send it to a friend, spread the word, click subscribe, click like. I don't really know how all this stuff works in the podcast world, but do all of the things to support it. And if you would like more information about the Energy Studio, about shamanic practices, or you'd like to set up a free one-on-one consultation, head on over to my website, the-energy-studio.com. Or you can head over to our Instagram, which is at the.energy.studio. If you liked the music at the beginning of this episode, head on over to anywhere where music is listened to and or sold and check out the Heartstrings Project, or you can also follow them on Instagram at the Heartstrings Project. They're freaking awesome, so head on over and check them out.